Watch out, Blue Bloods. Make way for the New Bloods. Deluna Coffee adds to their Blue Angels collection with their Fat Albert blend, a classic combination of Guatemalan and Brazilian beans. It is truly their roaster's choice. And hey, check it out. K-Cups of It, along with Voodoo and Red, White, and Brew are buy one, get one free. So go check it out over at DelunaCoffee.com.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant, fueled by Deluna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Beautiful morning, yeah, the summer morning, babe. Nothing in the water.
Can I say it now?
Beautiful morning, yeah, the summer.
Wake up! It is Wake Up War Chant 2022. It's still fueled by Deluna Coffee. DelunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. Promo code WARCHANT15. Use it. Prosper. Add friends to your friend circle by gifting them Deluna, or just make your life better overall. You're already on a good path because you're here. WARCHANT.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source. Promo code is WARCHANT30. Use that. Subscribe. YouTube channel, thumbs up, 5-star ratings, and review. Corey Clark here, everybody, on a not the usual technical setup with the microphone all fancy, but it's okay. We'll take Corey at 70% versus anybody else in the world at 100. That's how much we love you, Corey. How are you, man? Happy 2022. Although I don't know,
hey,
Larry
thanks,
David
buddy.
Says I can't. I guess I can't. It's been maybe too many days, but I'm going to still say it regardless.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's the first time we've talked since. I'd like to apologize on multiple fronts. First off, we didn't have a show on Monday because, not Aslan, but the other co-host caught COVID. And it hit him pretty hard on not I shouldn't say it hit me pretty hard. It was just a bad cold. But it was the last thing I wanted to do was talk for an hour. I was under the weather. If you can tell in my voice, I'm still congested. So that's not great. I feel better, but I'm still a little bit congested and hawking up some stuff. Hopefully I don't do that in your ear on this show. And then also apologies. So apologies for not having a show yesterday, apologizing for the way I sound nasally, and then also apologizing that I'm not doing this on my computer because I'm an idiot and unplugged my computer and I just got tired of waiting for it to charge back up. Long story. It's a weird computer. It's a little dicey. So weird. I have a love-hate relationship with that thing, and right now I hate it. So we're doing it by another means. So if I don't sound great on multiple fronts, I apologize for that too. But otherwise, what a great way to start the new year.
Indeed. The War Chant IT department did buy that laptop for Corey, brand spanking new. But for whatever reason, it just had this problem that never got remedied. And Corey did figure out the way he spoke to it. He's kind of like a computer whisperer. And basically,
right.
the gist of it is that he can never let it die. It always needs
right.
to be plugged in, and somebody not named Corey let it die. So for that, we all suffered.
Correct. Yeah. Stephanie happened to move my computer off its normal perch.
Don't name her name.
I don't think she moved it. She says she moved it, but it didn't unplug at the time. But maybe
sure.
over the course of a couple of days, it did get unplugged. Whatever happened. And look, it's all my fault. I bought this computer. I'm the one that didn't take it back when I had this weird I don't know what you would call it. This just like it can't go to. I think what the thing is, Aslan, it can't go to sleep. Like I took it away from going to sleep where it's on permanently, because if it goes to sleep half the time, it wouldn't turn back on.
Yeah.
So it's got some things we're working through, but I've made a lot of magic on that computer. You know what I mean? I don't want to just let it go. I don't want to just throw it in the dumpster. So we just got to wait for it to charge back up.
As will be the case in the coming weeks, months. Lead story is going to be portal comings and goings. New Year's Eve, right before the ball dropped, good news for Florida State. They added another Power 5 contributor, another wide receiver, Gregory Deuce Spann, originally from St. Petersburg, went to Illinois chasing his dream of playing quarterback. Eventually transitioned to wide receiver. Large human being, another large human being, reports himself to be 6'4", 210 to our own Michael Langston. All he does is catch touchdowns. Caught 5 passes for 124 and 2 scores this past season. So, bit of an intriguing prospect. I think the sort of common theme with most of these guys, I want to put Johnny Wilson in the same bucket, but not really the best quarterbacks. So, if you're a Miami fan, maybe you should also be wondering like what Mario Cristobal was thinking having Anthony Brown come be his quarterback. Like this, that was the ticket. Like this is what I need. Because that kid wasn't all that great. And then the Sitkowski kid at Illinois, I only really watched the Nebraska game, first game of the season, which I think Spann caught a touchdown in. He's coming to greener pastures with a quarterback throwing the ball. So Pittman, which was up and down, and then Spann, not necessarily playing with the best quarterbacks. I think they're upgrading their who they're going to be playing with in terms of their quarterback. So maybe don't let the numbers be too deceptive, too deceiving. But Corey, I want to ask you this maybe before you start sharing your thoughts on that. We keep seeing all these new additions coming in here, but then and people are very excited. Like they're looking at the absolute best case scenario with these guys, but still staying with that kind of, all right, we need to be patient. Let's get to 7 wins. I mean, they're not adding Rashad and Kelvin Benjamin, but I mean, maybe they're adding, I don't know, Rodney Smith, Burt Reed. I mean,
yeah, there you go.
Should we not want to up the ante a little bit in terms of where they can be? Just how do you process these guys in terms of how you're going to adjust your expectations for this team? I know it's still early on, but as we sit here, how do you sort of temper and calibrate your expectations?
Well, look, I would say this. None of these guys have proven a ton at this level, the three wide receivers I'm talking about. But I don't expect the receivers, like you can make an argument, a really compelling one and probably a correct one, that Florida State had one of the worst receiving corps in the ACC, maybe one of the worst in Power 5, production-wise, talent-level-wise. Like, it just wasn't there. Now you can't really do that. Like, we'll see if these guys materialize, if they pan out. But you brought in a 6'7 kid, an elite electric kind of athlete from Oregon, and then this kid that's 6'4". So, at the very least, your receiving corps looks like a receiving corps. You've got dudes out there that can hopefully win some 50-50 balls. They're tall. They're rangy. They have bigger catch radiuses. You don't keep throwing 60-yard posts to 5'8 guys. You've got guys that have more of a catch radius that maybe can make bigger plays downfield than what you're used to. So that in itself, you've upgraded the receiver position. We don't know how much. One of these guys might turn into Jermaine Johnson of offense. Jermaine Johnson hadn't accomplished much at all in college until he got to Florida State. Maybe one of these guys will do the same. Maybe two of them will. But don't you feel better? Like, you go into 2022 knowing that receiver isn't in an unprecedented weakness. Like, you at least have D1 guys that can play. Now, can they play at 60 catches for 1,000 yards? We'll see. But these guys can play, right? They're not as big a question marks as Portier, Williamson, guys like that.
I agree. Yeah. So that's the thing. Again, we can't maybe break down their war, but I just find it kind of interesting that people are so excited about these additions, but not kind of willing to push the envelope in terms of their expectations for what the season can be. I know it's really early on, but if you do believe in Jordan Travis, you believe in Alex Atkins, who we'll actually speak to later today, and we'll have some stories I'm sure will come out from that. Media gathering, you know, you got all these sort of things lining up that you had foundationally laid. You liked your offense on there, kind of growing. You added Caden Lyles from Wisconsin. So, like, why the sort of conservative outlook of, all right, well, we still need to be kind of patient, but I don't think so, man. Again, I'm not trying to say 10 wins or bust. Kind of am, though, a little bit, maybe.
Got to see what comes in on defense, though, right?
I guess so. No one's saying that, though, but maybe that's sort of the unwritten, unspoken part of all this is that, hey, we just lost a whole lot of we're getting all this great production on the offense, but man, we just lost a whole bunch of production on defense that has not been filled yet. Not that we're panicking or anything, but I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I guess if you look at it, like, look at it just in the numbers sense, like, say the offense gets 6 points better a game or 7 points better a game, which it very well might. Like,
yeah.
You got an offensive lineman that can play. Everybody else is a year older. You got a better receiving corps, so you might get 6 or 7 points a game better. Well, if the defense goes back to giving up 6 or 7 points more than it did last year, then where are you really? I think that's where the hold off, the wait and see attitude is, like, let's see what they do. Because nobody that's a Florida State fan can say with great conviction that the FSU defense is going to be as good or better than it was last year when you lose what you lost up front. You know, you just can't. You can hope it, but there's nothing we've seen from anybody out wide on the defensive line, any of those edge rushers, that you have any confidence at all in that they can play at this level and play well. They very well might. They might end up being all ACC guys, but there's nothing we can see yet. So you've got to replace, what, 20 sacks from your two defensive ends and, I don't know, 40 tackles for loss and 50 QB hits, whatever they had. You've got to replace all that, and you don't know how you're going to do it yet. And, you know, it's a lot to ask Quayshon Fuller, McClendon, Payton, those guys to replace that. So maybe getting one or two defensive ends in the portal will make people start upping that win total a little bit.
So then what you hold out hope that, again, it's not over this season. Who knows who's going to sort of emerge into the portal, but then is it just asking for too much to be able to get that kind of Jermaine Johnson, Kier Thomas guy, plus guys on offense? Is this the way you have to live in the portal? You can maybe get one side covered, and then next season you cover the other side, and then these kids are
going to stick. I think you can get both, right? I know what you're saying, but I think you can get both. They're all out there. Did you see, by the way, before we started recording, that who just went into the portal?
That's what's going to be the second part of the bullet points I had here. Yeah, man. Caleb Williams, quarterback from Oklahoma. I don't know, more sort of curious about that announcement or Oklahoma basically releasing a statement by their coach Venables and Joe Castiglione, their AD, basically saying, we're aware, we're doing everything we can to you know, they're basically marketing themselves to him and the entire country, saying Oklahoma's won more games than any other program since 1999. They've got NIL networking opportunities that they're going to try to, I mean, all these sort of things. That's just, wild, man, wild. Like, I guess you have to, because that kid, he leaves, then you're in a whole bunch of trouble. But yeah, where do you want to go on that? Should everybody be on a plane? Should they be there right now? Should they be in, I don't know, if he's back home in D.C. or if he's in Norman? Should every coach be holding up a boombox like John Cusack and being like, hey, man, come to Tallahassee, man, please.
Yeah, I mean, number one, it wasn't even like Florida State specific. Like, of course, if Caleb Williams, his dream has been to play Garnet Gold, you would say, absolutely, buddy, come on, let's do it. Let's get lit. We'll see if you can beat out Jordan Travis. But we definitely have a spot for you. But more important, more in line with what I was thinking is, like, that's the biggest name yet, probably, to hit the portal, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So, because he's just a freshman, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, so he threw 21 touchdowns, 4 picks. He had a really good year when he came in relief for Rattler. So the point being, we have no idea what's coming. Hmm. Like, you know, the two I know Michigan had a couple kids that entered the portal. I don't know that Cincinnati has or they would, but I think as we get to the new year, these next, 2 weeks will be critical in the portal and also knowing who's staying and who's going, like who's going pro, who's staying. So there are pieces out there. So there will be some defensive pieces out there that Florida State can go get that can make them better immediately. I don't know that there's a Caleb Williams out there on defense that they can go get, but there are guys out there that or will be out there in the coming weeks that could make this team a whole lot better. And it's just, again, I keep saying it's the new world order. It's where we are. It's insanity. It is pure insanity. Oklahoma loses their coach and now has lost their two top quarterbacks. How many of the receivers, most of their recruiting class, like, it is nuts what happens now when you lose a coach. Maybe he did say he would think about going back to Oklahoma, but I mean, this is crazy. So you don't know what your roster is going to be from week to week anymore. So let's see how it plays out. Like, by the time National Signing Day Part Due gets on us, but by the time spring practice start, let's see what this roster looks like. Because right now we have no clue.
His father did come out and say that the focus still is for him to be groomed to get ready for the NFL. But I mean, if this is a money grab, can't you just go to Venables and be like, hey, man, I need some more NIL. Because I don't know. I guess the cynic in me is, this is your way of basically declaring free agency. And basically, hey, man, if whoever's out there, let me know what you can offer me. I'm willing to move if the situation is right. Because I don't think he's necessarily in a bad situation in Oklahoma. That's still a pretty strong program. Venables probably will have that defense humming. Jeff Lebby's a really good offensive coordinator. So it's not – shouldn't really think that you're going to take some sort of big step back. So for me, it's like, all right, this is – I committed and signed before this NIL stuff really became such a huge sort of part of the equation for kids, and I'm leaving money on the table, and I want to remedy that right now.
let's say that this season, once he became the starting quarterback, there was a marketing deal worked out for him where he made $100,000. That's just me throwing out a number, folks. It could be a million. It could be nothing. Let's just go with the neighborhood of 100,000. And then he sees what he means to this program. You want to talk about leverage. Like, this is all you putting your name in the portal is the ultimate leverage. It is now Oklahoma. These boosters are freaking out. They've already freaked out that half their team has left. They freaked out that they lost their glory, their young prodigy coach to USC. So they've already freaked out about all this in the recruiting class. Now they're going to lose the guy they were counting on for 2 years to keep them, nationally relevant. What do you think that 100,000 could turn into in the next week?
I mean, absolutely seven figures. Absolutely seven figures.
But players now have the ultimate leverage when it comes to this. You can come out and say, we want to get to the NFL. Man, if you're good enough, the NFL, I just watched Trey Lance play a game. Where did he go to college? Carson Wentz played a game. Where did he go to? If you're good enough, you'll be developed. And I'm sure Venables will have a guy there that can coach quarterbacks. But anyway, the point being, if this is a money grab, this is where we live. This is the reality. The players have the leverage. They just do. You hope Florida State gets to a point where they have players that are good enough to do this. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's anybody on the roster right now at Florida State where you'd be like, including Jordan Travis, where you'd be like, oh, we got to do whatever it takes to keep him. He wants eight times more than he's getting now. You'd be like, okay, well, good luck, man. There's nobody on Florida State's roster right now that I think fits that bill. But you hope they're coming, or they're on the roster and they're young. But this is how it's going to be, man. Yeah, if he's not happy with his deal, and I'm not saying this is the reason he's doing it, but, buddy, if you're making $100,000 and you know you could be making $1.5 million, it ain't a bad play to put your name in the portal. Doesn't mean you have to leave. It just means, hey, show me how much you love me.
The clutch shots, the biggest hits. It's time for the Zaxby's Indescribably Good
Player of the Week.
Zaxby's Indescribably Good Player of the Week. And, hey, we had some games to be played. Shout out to Florida State's basketball team getting on the winning side of the ledger, 83-81 over NC State this past weekend. I'm going to go with Cameron Fletcher. Corey, he's my Indescribably Good Player of the Week. The Kentucky transfer going 6 of 8 from the field. 1 of 1 from behind the arc. 14 important points, plus 14. That's my big number. I like the plus 14 in 23 minutes of action for the Noles. They need somebody to help out, whoever's going to be at the top of this, whether it's going to be, Caleb Mills or Malik Osborne. But Cameron Fletcher, big step forward. He's my Zaxby's Indescribably Good Player of the Week.
Also had essentially the game-clenching steal there at the end of the game with about 8 seconds left. So that was big for him. Yeah, I'm going to go with Malik Osborne. Finished with 19, which was a team high. It wasn't a game high because NC State had that kid that Florida State could not stop. Just he's going to his right and going to lay it up every time. But when they got down by 7, when it seemed like the game was teetering, he hit 2 threes in a row and hit 2 free throws to get them right back in the game. And from there, it was back and forth. So Malik Osborne doing what a senior is supposed to do, leading this team on the road with big points and big baskets. And, it wasn't maybe the prettiest game in the world, giving up 81, but a win is a win, my man, especially when you've been off for 16 days like that basketball team had. So Malik Osborne, that's my pick, Aslan.
Cameron Fletcher, Malik Osborne, our Zaxby's Indescribably Good Players of the Week.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good segue coming out of break, Corey. Sticking with hoops. Again, Florida State wins 83-81 over NC State on the road in Raleigh. I mean, they needed a win in the worst way, and they get it on the road. So what changes now? This is what they did all last year, right? They have these long pauses. They come right out of it and go on these nice little runs, hoping this is the start of it. What stood out to you maybe in terms of what you saw from Florida State that looked either different or something that's going to be kind of sustainable and can help propel them moving forward here?
Well, honestly, I think you just mentioned them. I think we kind of know what you're going to get with Mills and Matthew Cleveland, who had a nice game too. I think he had 13-10 or 13-9. He might be the best rebounder on the team. And then Osborne. Those are steady guys. You know where you're going to get out of them. But Cameron Fletcher is the wild card, man. Like, he made a big difference in that game. And Leonard has said he's probably the most talented player on the team. So if you can get him to die, and he didn't play much. You know, he'd hurt his face. I don't know if it was a broken nose or a sprained nose. I don't know if he was sprained noses. But he was wearing the mask the last couple times he played, didn't play much, played 4 minutes in one of those games. So to get 23 minutes out of him in that production – he's just such an incredible athlete, but a good shooter too, a good player. I think that's the guy maybe moving forward. That was the best part of that about that game to me from Florida State's side, was getting that production from him, because that's the guy he can be. And if he's that guy, then yeah, you could go score. It's not easy to score 80 on the road, even against a not great team. Scoring 80 on the road, that doesn't happen a ton. So for them to go do that, and he was a big part of it. Again, the defense, they just don't have a big guy. They don't have any rim protection at all. They need Ngom to get back. But, you know, we talked to Leonard. I don't know how many people saw the story, but we talked to Leonard on December 30th. So 4 or 5 days ago now at this point, he admitted, not admitted like it's a bad thing, but he had COVID. It sounds like most of the team had COVID. And so they weren't even able to practice much during the 2 week absence because, you know, so many kids had to isolate or coaches had to isolate. He said there was one practice where there was one coach available. Now, he said he didn't have any symptoms. It sounds like 85% of that team didn't have any symptoms, but they were testing positive for COVID, so they weren't able to practice. But I think it did help guys like Fletcher, maybe get his face back in order where he could go play, which was nice. But it hurt somebody like Ngom, who Leonard said, he's like, look, he couldn't rehab for some of those days because our weight room was closed. So his rehab is falling behind, and they have no idea when he's going to get back, but they desperately need some rim protection because that's just, you know, you're looking back on it. Obviously you knew Scotty was gone last season. When we were watching this team, we knew it was only 1 year for Scotty, and it became kind of obvious midway through the season. Okay. Raekwon's gone too. He's just too good. He's going to go get paid to play somewhere, but man, if this team had Bosa, he would be such a difference maker because of how he can protect the rim, how he can rebound, offensive rebound. He can actually shoot. He would be such a difference maker for this team, but they don't. So why am I living in the past, Aslan? Why am I living in the past? I shouldn't. But it was just good to see them playing again. They were so, it's just like out of mind.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like we hadn't seen them in over 2 weeks. And when we did see him, it was against Lipscomb, which didn't even count. So the last time we saw them play in a game that was competitive was December 12th against South Carolina. So that's, what are we looking at, 3 weeks almost between that game and the January 1st game at NC State? So for them to just show that resolve, you know, be down 7 on the road in the second half, come back and win, nice win. We'll see if they can build on it. I will see. I say this, they're scheduled to have a game today against Wake Forest. You can never count your chickens with this era, but they're scheduled to have a game, another one on the road at Wake Forest. So we'll see if they can pick up where they left off.
Is it just me, or does this season feel more tenuous than last?
I mean, it's definitely, I feel like it's going to be more choppy.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like last season, all the protocols were in place that you weren't having a ton of outbreaks. And also there was, you know, but I just feel like now it just seems like there are more games getting canceled than there were last year because of all those protocols in place. So I don't think it's tenuous as in it's not going to happen or they're not going to have a March Madness. But it is tenuous from game to game because you don't know who's going to be available. And that was one thing Leonard talked about, actually, that I thought was interesting, was he was saying that not everybody tests the same. So he's like, you know, everybody in the country is going through it. But are we at a disadvantage because we test everybody and we don't just test people that have symptoms? So we're losing more games or we're losing more players but have to play those games without those players because we're more stringent. He said that what happened was...
Is it a conference thing or is it a per university?
It sounds like it's both, honestly. It was kind of... I couldn't quite tell what he was saying. Like, if he was saying it's Florida State's, not an issue, but it's Florida State's protocol or if it's the ACC protocol. I think it's the ACC's. But what he said was that on the way home from South Carolina, one of their players had the sniffles. And then they tested him negative. Tested three guys that they consider close contact, both negative, but then two or three days later, positives started popping up. I guess after the Lipscomb game. And if you remember, I don't think Matthew Cleveland played in the Lipscomb game.
Right.
So do with that what you will. But then positives started popping up on guys that were asymptomatic, but they were testing asymptomatic. So they were positive, but didn't have, you know, obviously didn't have symptoms, and it just kind of spread throughout the team. And so you know that, but he said, like, look, there are other teams that don't test as stringently as we do that maybe they were able to play through December because they were just testing kids that have symptoms, or maybe kids weren't being honest that they had symptoms, but they test so much that they're going to catch you even if you're lying. Well, essentially was his point. But his other point was, and it's actually not a bad one if it plays out a certain way, is they're all good now. Like, it certainly sounds like, and he didn't say this. It sounds like basically the whole team got it, or most of the whole team got it. Well, now they should be good for a while.
At least 6 months, right? Yeah.
Well, that's, who knows, man. That changes a lot. Trust me. As somebody that's going through it, it had a son that just had it, and I did not get it from him. Well, I can't say that for sure. I don't think I got it from him because I wasn't exposed to him until 11 days after. Anyway, we have to get into all that. But they should be good to go for a few months. But Will that help them if they're going to play Duke and then Duke has three players out and says they can't play? And I think that's what you worry about when it comes to this is the gamesmanship of it. Like, say, I'm just using Duke as an example because they're on my mind. But say Duke has three starters out with COVID, but the rest of the team is available to play. Does Duke just say we can't play? Like, what's the mechanism to say, okay, you've got enough available players, you should be able to play? And what if it's three walk-ons as opposed to three start? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to play a game without two, look, I'll use Florida State as an example. Say Florida State was playing a game that they knew if they won could get them into the NCAA tournament late in the season because they're on the bubble. And then let's say Caleb Mills, Cleveland, and Worley all have it. Does Florida State just say, we can't play, we need to reschedule? Or do they play without those three guys? And what's the mechanism in place to dictate when you can play and when you can't?
Well, yeah, because it's just a forfeit. So apparently...
Well, no, they changed their rules.
Well, no, this is from December 22nd. Basketball.
No, I'm saying that the Omicron, I think, has changed the game where the ACC went back and said they're not going to be considered forfeits anymore. Because otherwise, somebody would have forfeited the Florida State-Boston College game.
Well, no, this
was supposed to be played on the 30th.
This is the modification because it's from December 22nd. So you have to have a minimum of seven players available, scholarship. That was updated on the 27th.
Okay. I'm sorry, Aslan.
No, you're fine.
I didn't even tell you to look it up, and you went and looked. Yeah. I didn't sing the song, and you're giving me real information. I'm sorry, buddy.
And then one countable coach. If a team does not have the requisite number of participants and elects not to play, no contest. All right, so if you don't have enough players and you don't want to play, you know, if you don't have seven guys, you don't want to play it, no contest. But if you have at least seven guys or gals and you don't play, then it will be a forfeit. So I guess maybe that kind of hopefully keeps the gamesmanship at a minimum here.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. All right. Well, then we're all set. Can't
yeah, but then, I don't know how stringent is the auditing. Like, is somebody in Charlotte looking at Duke's? You know, because can Kay just be like, hey, we got six guys that tested positive, or do they actually need to see six? You know, results from a lab saying this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy tested.
Yeah,
you know,
so. I don't know. It's a good question.
Who
it's
knows?
A good question. Who I don't knows? Know why we keep, especially me, I keep assuming that Duke's just going to try to cheat.
I know. Come on. Such honor.
But I mean, come on. It's his last season. He doesn't want to go down losing to Florida State again.
What I do know, Corey, is I feel, and I'm not trying to jinx you guys, I think the Dawgs are going to pull it out. We'll talk a little about the playoff on our way out here. Hurt for my guy Jim Harbaugh. Really rooting for, I mean, I don't want to say I was rooting against Georgia, but would have been happy to see Jim do well, see Michigan do well, see this sport become a national sport once again. But hey, it's what the South does, barbecue and college football.
Right.
So we get a rematch. I think right now, Georgia, or at least they opened up a 2.5-point favorite, which I think sounds about right, because whatever that SEC championship game looked like, I think the way we saw Cincinnati kind of hang tough to a certain degree with Alabama, and the way that Georgia just absolutely dominated Michigan makes you think, okay, Georgia's going to be focused and ready to go, so you have to set the line for 2.5. And I do think Georgia will probably win. But before we get to there, just the joy of getting back. The climb. How is the climb, Corey, when you are at the top right now? Now I got a battle to stay up top of there, but you've made the climb. What's it like? How do all your Georgia people react?
It's weird, man. Like, I was thinking about this because I was watching it at a New Year's Eve party, which, hey, that might have been where I got it. Or it might have been where I spread it to everyone. Who knows? I guess barking, if you bark, that spreads. That's like singing or coughing almost.
Yeah, it's intense.
It's putting a lot of particles in the air. I did not bark. I'm just kidding. It's so – I know this isn't what you asked, but, man, it just – there was no real – there's no real feel to this. There's no real passion to it. It's just so, it's like, cool. Yeah. They did what they're supposed to do. They're in the play, but it didn't feel special. It didn't feel like an unbelievable moment for the Georgia football program. I don't know if it was because it was played on New Year's Eve. I don't know if it was because the game was so one-sided, but man, it just, they have to get to a 12-team playoff quickly. They have to. And hopefully they will, because it just seems so passionless. Right now, it seems so, I don't even know what the word is. Like, right.
We needed to see Baylor get beat up by Georgia to make this thing feel more valid. Well, I mean, I don't get it.
I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's just such an odd thing to be like, you take 3 weeks off, you play a game, you dominate it. Now you're in the championship again against the team you just played.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem as, it's not nearly as exciting as like Florida State getting ready to go play Auburn. I don't know. It just isn't. But that said, yeah, it's awesome that they're here. We'll see if they can do it. Now, you know, I went to Georgia, but for most of my life, I grew up hating Georgia fans because I lived in Georgia as a Florida State fan. So you talk about a fan base that thinks they've accomplished a whole lot more than they have. Oof. And mean a lot more to college football than they actually do. You know, Georgia's probably case study number one in that. I mean, they haven't won a championship since Jimmy Carter was president. So it's been a minute, but that said, I'm excited. Because look, man, who's rooting for Alabama?
Yeah.
Who could possibly root for that team anymore? I mean, good grief. It's like people don't remember this, but the Patriots, I think, went a decade without winning a Super Bowl.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. There were other teams out there dancing and having fun, and it's just Alabama over and over and over again. So that's not fun. But what are you going to do? It's Alabama, Georgia for the national championship. I did like that ESPN caught some flack for talking about how these players that opt out of bowl games don't have any love for the sport anymore.
Yeah, it was Kirk.
It's like, come on. Come on, man. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. Like, this shouldn't even be a conversation. If you want to pay them to play in your bowl game, some of them will play. But if you're not going to play them and they're not playing for a championship, this is the reality of the sport. You know, you're lucky that some guys don't opt out in November. Well, some guys do. That'll become more of a thing, too, I believe. Players will start doing that. But, yeah, man, I just, the whole bowl season, and I like watching bowls. There were some entertaining bowls.
It was a great bowl. Tennessee-Purdue is a great game. The Rose Bowl was amazing.
But then you watch the Purdue game, and they're without their first-round defensive end, their first-round tight end, and their other best pass catcher. And it's like, what are we learning? Like, I guess we just have to go into bowls knowing this isn't a referendum on anything. Like, Pitt. Let's say, what does Pitt do if Kenny Pickett plays in that game?
Probably wins. Right? Yeah, I would think they win. Yeah.
Yeah, probably by multiple scores. They almost won with their third-string quarterback. So I feel like they probably would have won if the Heisman candidate had played. So it's just like, I think we have to, we can't use bowls as a judge of a good team or a good conference anymore, because so many players are out that it just, it's hard to, but they're still entertaining. There's like that Oklahoma State Notre Dame game was really fun. So was the Kentucky Iowa game, which who would have thought that? Like, that was at least entertaining in the fourth quarter. So yeah, I love bowls. I like that they're still a thing. I think with 12 teams in a playoff, it makes it more fun. It makes it more competitive. You can start it like midway through December, and just go from there. But hopefully they'll figure this out. But I know that was a long rant. It's COVID brain. I can't keep up. Can't keep my thoughts in order. But I'm trying my best for you people.
He is, and we appreciate it. Thanks for talking.
How do I sound?
You sound fine, I think, man. I think if you wouldn't have told anybody about you being nasally, I think obviously the audio quality is a little bit different because you're not speaking into a $300 microphone, but it sounds totally fine. I mean, no one's going to be like, that's it, I'm doing Wake Up War Chant. Their production quality is terrible because, golly, the market.
No, I just meant how I sounded, like, yeah, like you said, like nasally, congested.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you sound, you're battling something, but it wasn't uncomfortable listening to you. You're not, it's not like, golly, get him out of my ear already,
Right, right. Okay. Well, that's good. That's all I was hoping for.
Just be ready later on this morning when we speak to Alex Atkins, the new offensive coordinator of Florida State. We'll speak to him on Tuesday morning. And then Wednesday, we're supposed to get new quarterbacks coach Tony Tokar. So I'm sure we'll get some sort of clarification. I hope so. Alex seems like a pretty straight up dude. I can't imagine him talking in circles about who's going to be calling plays. And if he does, I think we'll trap him, right? Like, we'll set a trap. We'll do follow-up questions.
That's exactly what we'll do, man.
I want an answer.
By the way, I meant to ask, when I was on that rant, I never got to my actual point, which was the Ole Miss quarterback going down.
Right, yes.
Like, is
sprained ankle, x-rays negative, so
but even if it had been a broken ankle.
Yeah, it would have been terrible. Yeah.
But what would it – you think a team that really believes in him – would be like, look, we can't do it because this broken ankle that'll heal in 5 months, it might be healed by the draft. We can't take a risk on drafting him. Like, I would feel like, other than a quarterback losing an arm, like his arm gets knocked out of socket and spins onto the field. Other than that, what could happen to a quarterback where you'd be like, absolutely not, I'm not drafting him. It's too much of an injury risk.
Yeah, like he gets Joe Montana, Leonard Marshall. Yeah, like
yeah,
his arm. Yeah, to your point, like something catastrophic happens to their arm. Or Mackenzie Milton, probably,
But that's, you think about all the hits that quarterbacks have taken over the last 10 years. I feel like Milton's the one, right? Like one out of a million injury.
Yeah.
That just does not happen. I know I say that. It's a good point because idiot. You covered a guy whose career was ruined by an injury. Not that he was a huge NFL prospect anyway, but yeah, he almost lost his leg. That stuff, that's the risk, but that happens one out of a million. I don't know if that's happened before or since, at least in my recent memory, my recollection. So it's like, man, that a quarterback especially doesn't seem like they have a ton of, and Waddle, right? Didn't Waddle get hurt last year in the championship game?
No, he came back, I think. He hurt himself early in the season, and then he tried to come back.
Oh, but he wasn't himself, right? But
yeah.
He got an injury. Right. And where was he drafted?
Yeah.
Flipping fourth.
Breaking records.
Yeah. Breaking Anquan's records, which is ridiculous. I did look it up. He has like 97 catches for right at 1,000 yards.
Ew.
It's like, come on, man. It is gross. I mean, that's Anquan's. Don't even put him in the same breath as Anquan. So who, and to clean up things, the last little housekeeping matters, Leroy Butler is a finalist again for the NFL Hall of Fame.
That's correct. Third time.
So let Yep. So let's hope third time is the charm. He deserves it. He's right up there with all those other guys. He's better than Steve Atwater. And Steve Atwater's in the Hall of Fame. They were contemporaries. That's why I bring him up. So hopefully Leroy Butler could become the, what would he be, the sixth Florida State guy to be in the Hall of Fame?
I think. I'll look it up.
Biletnikoff, Walter Jones, Dion, Derek Brooks. I feel like there's another one that we're just completely forgetting. So maybe he would be the fifth.
This is why I don't do it, because then they're going to know everyone's yelling right now.
Look it up, Aslan.
Look it up. I am looking it up. Hall of Famers by college. Florida State has. Oh, come on. Big pop-up comes in front of me. Four, Biletnikoff, Brooks, Jones, Sanders.
Okay, so he would be the fifth. And do we even count Dion anymore?
Right. Guess how many Florida's got? Two.
Is it Emmett and Wilbur Marshall?
Jack Youngblood.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Georgia. Guess how many Georgia's got? Way. Crazy.
I don't know how many they have.
Four.
Yeah, and they've been playing 100 years longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then who do they got? Herschel? Is he one?
No. He's not Pro Football Hall of Famer, no.
Well, but USFL was pro football.
Right position. Come on. It's right. You know who it is.
Yeah, well, I know Fran Tarkenton's one, right?
Correct.
You're
not going to guess the other guy, but the running back. I mean, he was only there for 1 year, I think, or 2 years. He transferred.
Oh, Terrell Davis. Yeah. That's crazy that he's in and Herschel isn't.
Right.
Considering what they did at UGA. No receivers.
Sorry.
Jake Scott. And then who's the other one?
Champ Bailey, Charlie Trippi.
Oh, so Jake Scott's not in there?
No.
Oh, that's crazy. Champ Bailey. I played basketball against Champ Bailey. I told you that story.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hines Ward should be close. I guess he won't get in. If Hines Ward shouldn't get in before Anquan, but they probably should both be in. But no, I didn't play basketball against him, but I was in the Space Center. That's what we call the recreation center. It's like Leech at Georgia.
Gotcha.
The Students Physical Activity Center. It was awesome. It was like the best in the country at the time. And I'm sitting there waiting on a game to be played so we can play another basketball game. So we just lost, so we're sitting out. And there's this guy, he's 6 foot. I mean, he's just 6 foot. He's a normal sized guy. And I tell my buddy, I go, hey, man, that's Champ Bailey. And he goes, man, that's not Champ Bailey. Champ Bailey would be bigger than that. I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, that's Champ Bailey. And right when I'm saying that, as he's doubting me, Champ yells across the gym, hey, Ronald, watch this. And standing flat-footed under the basket, he does a double pump reverse dunk. And my buddy goes, yeah, I guess that is Champ Bailey. I mean, who literally flat-footed. Like, he might have taken one step. It wasn't like start from the free throw line. It was because there was a game going on. It was on the other side of the court. It was full court, but it was a game going on. So he couldn't like do a lot of tricks. He was literally just standing under the basket, like laying it up. And then he goes, hey, watch this. And does a dunk, yelling to his brother, who was also on the football team. Hey, Ronald, watch this. And then he does a double pump reverse dunk.
By the way, Kansas, Georgia Tech, Duke. Just some of the schools that have more Hall of Famers than Florida. So.
Okay. All right. Great, man.
Good job. Great.
Is Florida on pace to get another one?
I don't think so.
Anybody out there right now that's killing it for them?
Aaron Hernandez was killing it, you know.
Hey-o. That's a good way to end it. Good way to end the show, everyone.
Stay connected to warchant.com. Again, we'll be speaking to Alex Atkins on Tuesday morning. We'll have full video of that up on our YouTube page, and I'm sure Corey or somebody will be transcribing it. We'll tweet it. We'll have the video up, and we'll have a story accompanying it on our website. Jeff Cameron Show coming up 1 to 3 o'clock away. Is headlines going down Tuesday or what's going on?
Not sure. Still trying to figure that out. Maybe push it back a day or punt or have Tom Lang fill in. We're going to see. We're going to see how it all. I'm actually going to figure that out right now.
Okay. 1 to 3 o'clock. Nonetheless, there will be programming Florida State centric on our War Chant YouTube page. Use it. Corey, thanks for doing this, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, I love you, dog.
Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee features over 24 different blends. DeLuna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit thelunacoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.